The Lord works in our heart. He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's what I love about the true grace of the gospel. Everything God wants from you must come on the platform of free will. Amen. He works in your want-tos. If we go beyond your want-tos and we start heaping law and rules and ritual, now we've entered into that land of legalism, and not only are we who is putting that on you is displeasing to the Lord, but we can actually cause you to stumble in this thing called the faith. Amen. So when we preach, when we teach, we do it in a way with the help and grace of the Holy Spirit that it draws you to want the things of God. Amen. You know, I remember in my past life how gracious the Lord was with me, drawing me to Himself. The Bible says that no man can come to the Father but by the Spirit that draw him. What you and I didn't realize is prior to coming to Jesus Christ, there was a lot of years where the Lord was active in our life, preparing the soil of our heart, getting us ready to believe on the Son of God at a certain point in time. And upon your belief and repentance towards God, that was the moment you were instantly born of the Spirit, born again, saved by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And you received a new heart and a new spirit all through the finished work of Calvary. Amen. And so understanding that God works in our heart to prepare us for what He has for us. Even as a child of God now, God is still working in the soil of our heart to want more of Him, more of His Word, and to roll up our shirt sleeves and go to work in His kingdom, not to merit anything from the Lord, but out of a thankful heart. Amen. We just can't contain it. It's like the Queen of Sheba we had mentioned in our worship service. You know, she came to hear Him and see Him and see what was so glorious about Solomon's kingdom. And she said, boy, the half has not yet been told. Amen. And she gave all she had to Him as a thanksgiving to Him and His God and the impact that the kingdom of God in Israel made on this foreign Gentile king or queen by the name of Sheba. But God is working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Thank God for His grace. Amen. Thank God for His mercy. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's go again to Romans chapter 8. To Romans chapter 8, please. We're going to go pretty much to the same portion of Scripture. Romans 8. We'll begin in verse, let me get there myself. We'll begin in verse 28 this morning. I feel last week as we begin to minister this, I feel there's more to be said here, more that I wanted to bring out. So we're going to just continue last week's message. We'll call this More Than a Conqueror, Part 2, just so you know where we're going here. It says in Romans 8, verse 28, begins there, and it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." And then Paul goes, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Amen? Hallelujah. Every time I read that, something rings in my spirit. It tells me I can make it. I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? What shall we then say to this? What shall we then say? Amen? You know, we got home last week and we watched Brother Donnie Swaggart minister last Sunday morning on our DVR. And he read the same portion of Scripture. He brought out things, he had a little different slant on some of these. But you know what? I found it interesting that the Spirit of the Lord, amen, is trying to get our attention in something here this morning. So the Scripture in verse 31, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us?" And then Paul explains that, hey, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for every single one of us. You may be here weak in the faith. You may be here not even knowing Jesus Christ. But I want you to know God delivered up His Son Jesus for you. Amen. That you might come to Him and that He can radically save you and change everything in your life for the good. So He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. And who is he that condemns? No, it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No, as it is written, for all the day long we are killed, we are put out as sheep, accounted for the slaughter. But knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen? In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through who? Through the One who loved us, the One who died for us. Amen? Amen? Some of you are getting it. Some of you are going, okay. We've heard this before. Amen? Amen? For Paul said in verse 38, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities or powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This morning, more than a conqueror, part two. Amen. It's going to get better. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to prayer. Father, again, we just thank you for those that are in your house this morning and those that have joined us live stream and wherever this message goes on a CD, DVD, wherever it may be listened to or viewed. Lord, let the Spirit of the Lord that we sense here this morning be upon those recordings. God, be with our live stream audience and bless them. Give them their portion this morning. Touch them, oh God, even through this camera, through that internet connection, oh God, and make a way for them where there seems to be no way. And for the congregation here this morning, Lord, that every heart be open to your truth. Lord, anoint the preacher this morning, for without your touch, I'm just a man. I can do nothing. And Father, this morning, let the true preacher come from heaven, the Holy Spirit. And Lord, give us a service this morning. Let your word come to life in Jesus' name. Every hard heart, crack it open. Break the fallow ground. And Lord, we pray, oh God, bring forth fruit out of your word in Jesus' name. Bless the children's church and the workers, Lord. Give them their portion this morning. And we give you praise and glory, and we thank you for all good things. And everybody said amen and amen. Last week, as we were basically trying to lay a little foundation, that God wants us and to understand that in Jesus Christ, you and I are more, not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. And it all began really with the work of Christ on the cross. And in that work on the cross, we had brought about that when we were yet sinners, there was a perfect salvation that God had provided before the foundation of the world in Christ. Amen. All those Old Testament blood sacrifices of all those animals, that wasn't just to have a bloody, gory ritual. It was God showing the severity of sin and transgression, and that man is so far gone, so far lost, that one that is innocent has to forfeit its life to redeem the ungodly one. Amen. In other words, salvation is coming at such a great price that when Jesus Christ came into this world through the womb of a virgin 2,000 years ago, God's Son, God in the flesh, He lived that perfect life, became that innocent lamb who did nothing deserving death. You and I deserve death. The Bible says wherever there is sin, there's transgression. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Amen. We die, we age, we grow old, we pass on, a new generation comes. But God loved His creation, and one day death will be no more. Amen? But God sent forth His Son through the womb of a virgin, made in the image of man, that He could redeem man from the curse, from his sinful condition. Amen? Don't blame God when all hell breaks loose and all things go wrong in our life. God has been good to us. He has provided a Savior. He has provided salvation and redemption. He has provided a perfect redemption. Amen? And God has a perfect love for those that are His own. Amen? You know, if we look a little deeper, we'll realize a lot of the hurt that we see in our life, not only can it, yes, it can be caused because we're the innocent one, but a lot of times we have sinned too. We have made decisions away from God that have heaped hurt upon us. Amen? And God is not the blame for that. And you say, well, what about the one that did wrong? Well, when I sin somebody, I'm hurting somebody. Amen. Amen? When that person sinned, unfortunately, they hurt you. But when you have sinned, you've not only hurt yourself, but you have hurt others also. And you've hurt God, who loves you. Amen. We got to put things in perspective. But as a sinner, prior to us coming to Jesus Christ, like I've said 1,000 times, I didn't come to Jesus till I was 25 years old. Amen. I had a lot of sin in my life up to that point. Amen. So bad that I was under such guilt. I hated life. And I didn't know what to do. But God had prepared the soil of my heart, and I turned to Him. As I said earlier before we read our text this morning, God prepares us, prepares the soil of our heart, gets us ready to receive Jesus Christ, His Son. Amen? Amen. People say, well, why don't people, when you give this good news, why don't they just repent and come to God? Because God is yet to prepare that heart. Amen. I heard the gospel when I was a teenager. I rejected it. I thought I had my Lutheranism. I had my baby baptism. Who are you to tell me I must be born again? Amen? You see, but God had to take me deeper into my sin. And when I realized that the guilt was so heavy, I couldn't live. I couldn't take another breath. Then He loved me, drew my heart. And one day, I remember somebody telling me, Jeff, you got to repent before God and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And I did that at a certain point in time, and He was there. Amen. And I've never looked back. I never went back to the bar stool. I told a friend the other day, a couple weeks ago, I says, I've been dry since 1984. Never taken a sip of alcohol since. Used to be a weekend binger, a weekend alcoholic. I have no interest for it. Amen. Now, there's been a lot of other things in my life God has had to yet clean up. Amen. So I don't boast on this and say, bless God, I've never tasted a drop of alcohol. But I've had other things that God has equally had to deliver me from. Amen. I mean, you know, in high school, we used to get on the druggies. You know, we're alcoholics, but we got down on the druggies, you know. We're better than them, you know, because alcohol is a little more socially acceptable, you know. You know, and then it's just like, man, no, we're all in a cesspool of sin. We all need redemption, amen. We do the same thing in the church. You know, we say, well, that person smokes, yeah. Well, that person has profanity in their life. Well, that person, well, what about the evil thoughts that have passed through your and my minds? What about the impatience we have shown? What about our pride and arrogance? What about us forgetting one day I used to be a sinner and I act like God don't love sinners? Amen? You know, we got a worse problem in the church once we come to Christ, it seems, than we had out in that bar stool. Amen? Man, we maybe got into a bar fight here and there, but you know, you know what I'm saying? But God brought us out. Now we go in the church, we have church fights. Amen? Amen. That same old sin nature. Amen? But God made a way. And so when we were yet sinners, God had provided a perfect salvation, a perfect righteousness, a perfect justification, a perfect redemption. He even provides a new heart and a new spirit and a calling to the provision of God. Amen? Thank God. As Paul on that road to Damascus, Jesus met him and got his attention. Hallelujah. If God can save an apostle Paul from the deadness of his sin, my God, look what He has done in us, and He will yet do in people we know and acquaintances and loved ones that we're praying for. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen, never take it lightly. When God lays somebody on your heart to pray for, there's been times that there's some old high school buddies. One day I was just out working, doing my thing, and all of a sudden I had a real burden for two of my old buddies. And I'm thinking, I haven't thought about them in years. I wonder how they're doing, you know? And then I realized that, you know, God brought that all to my attention, not just to reminisce and think, oh yeah, okay, remember some good times. No, pray for them. Pray for their salvation. Amen? Hallelujah. Hello? Pray for their salvation. Don't take those impressions lightly. God is trying to do something and use you in the process. Amen? Hallelujah. You may not ever be able to talk with them face to face and lead them to Christ, but you've been instrumental by obeying the Holy Spirit and praying for them. You know, prior to you coming to Jesus, somebody was praying for you. Somebody out there, God had burdened in their heart to pray for you. Amen. Don't take that lightly, because God hath provided for them, for the sinner, a perfect salvation, a perfect righteousness, a perfect justification, a perfect redemption, a new heart, and a new spirit. It is all available through the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, for the saint, the child of God, we talked about a little bit, we've been predestinated to be conformed into the image of Christ. It's called the process of sanctification. Amen? And since you've been saved, you wonder, man, when I came to Jesus, I had trouble out there, but boy, I come to Jesus. Not only is there upheaval in my life, but man, now I find out I'm not everybody's best buddy no more. People don't like me because I got this faith in Christ. They think you got religion now. Amen? And I'm dare to say that when you're truly born again, there will be a change. There will be something notable, and you're the first one that will know it. Amen? Something has changed that has turned you toward God. Now listen, some of us, we've come in, it's like an explosion in this thing. It's just, man, it's all new. Others, they just make a simple, they just believe at a certain point, and then there's just a subtle little change, but there's a real heart for the Lord. You know, I heard a preacher say the other time, you know, there's times when you have an altar call and somebody gives their heart to Jesus Christ and they're weeping and they're crying and they're just, man, they're just laying at that altar in hot repentance and tears, and you go, wow, that person giving their heart to Christ, what a difference that's going to make with them. And then you get somebody else up here standing, they don't, no tears, no nothing, but they're just standing quiet, and they just say a quiet sinner's prayer. The one that was at the altar, you think God's going to raise him up to be a preacher, you never see him again, but that quiet one, amen? You know, that just something in his heart changed towards God. I mean, you can't lock him out of the church. I mean, he's just, something has changed in him, amen? So we can't always go by that. But when Christ comes in, there is a change. And it's something he has provided. You know, so much of Christianity is like, you got to clean yourself up. You got to clean yourself up. You got to get this right. You got to get that right. You got to do this to please God. You got to do this to please God. Listen, I'm 56 years old, going on 57. But, you know, when I work in that shop and it's hot and it's dirty and it's grimy and I'm full of grease and soot and everything else, I don't go out in the yard, take the garden hose, clean myself off before I hop in my shower. Unless it's really bad. Amen? There's been maybe a couple. No, you don't take a shower before you get in the bathtub. Amen? You come as you are and you hop in. You let him do the rest. Glory to Jesus. And you'll find that he is good and that he is loving and that he is kind. Let's move quickly here this morning. I know that's more my fault than your fault here. So to the saint of God, we got this process of sanctification at work. And there's a continuous cleansing always moving us towards glorification. But God addresses our sin nature. And this is one thing we've not understood in the body of Christ, because few preachers understand it, like a dear brother last week. Listen, this is interesting. Wednesday night, we had a fella drive from Ashland to come to church. He drove 5 hours one way to come to church, and he was going to drive home yet that night. He said he had to get here. God, he had been here once or twice, and God had just done something in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's on a Wednesday night. Now, if he can get here on a Wednesday night, you know, I always apologize. Wednesday night, we know some of you, you know, we drive long distances, so don't feel the burden to come. I'm going to flip that around here. I'm just going to say, you know, if you want to come, come, man. You know, the drive won't just, yeah. Listen, I feel we have some pretty good things we teach on Wednesday nights, and it will bless you. It will be worth the drive. If not, grab the CD on the table, amen. You need that midweek teaching. You need it. You need it, amen. Hallelujah. So I'll leave that between you and the Lord. And I won't guilt trip you. Amen. I promise. I'll be good, maybe. Amen. Hallelujah. But when you can get to church, get here. Amen. But anyway, he said, his pastor, he said, he talked to him. He said, why aren't you preaching the cross? He said, well, Jesus is not in the tomb no more. But that is the common preacher's and pastor's understanding of the work of the cross. He's out of the tomb. We're resurrection people. That's true. He is not in the tomb. We are resurrection people. But the problem is we got a real sin issue in the body of Christ. Amen. A lot of believers, I read something the other day. They were going through statistics saying that like, you know, 30%, 35% of professing Christians are yet on alcohol. They say many of them, about the equal number, are still addicted to nicotine. They still say that, this is a big one, they say almost half of all Christian men that they surveyed, and I don't know how they did that survey, but are addicted to porn. Think about that. We have a problem in the body of Christ, and it's a problem with our sin nature. We know we have new hearts. We know we love Jesus Christ. We know there's been a new work of grace and redemption in our heart. But we're bound to something. We're not getting the victory we ought to. And no man will get the proper victory until the preacher starts preaching or proclaiming what is available to them in Jesus Christ to give them an overcoming heart and spirit. Amen? There is a victory side of this. You don't have to be bound to P-O-R-N. You don't have to be bound to alcohol or nicotine or pride or jealousy or strife or any work of the flesh. There is a full provision through the cross of Jesus Christ that sin does not have to no longer reign in your life. Hallelujah. We will still have moments where we stumble and sin because the perfection is going to be realized when we've been redeemed out of this world. But I'm here to say, in this life, there is a victory side to this thing, and that you and I can live a guilt-free life in Jesus Christ with the victory of the cross on our side. Amen? Now, how is that taught? You got to realize there's some benefits. There's some benefits given to us. Not only is God initiated through Christ the process of sanctification, what is that sanctification process? We come to Jesus as a sinner, we are perfectly justified, God has cleaned the rap sheet, there are no pending charges against you, the believer, in the books of heaven, amen? That's good news this morning, amen? If they would pull up your name right now, you can do an internet search. $15, I can type your name in and I can find out all the mud on you, what's recorded in the legal system. Public records. I can do that. Amen? I won't do that, but I could do that. And if you make me mad, I might just do it. I'm teasing you. But think about it. They type in your name. I had a little run-ins with the law when I was... You know what I did? Most of you don't know this. I probably shouldn't even tell you. I was probably 18 years old. Hanging out with the guys, a different group of friends I normally didn't hang around with. We got inebriated, and they were challenging me. We went to Sambo's in Fond du Lac. Remember the old Sambo's restaurants? We used to get big chef salad there. It was really good. I don't know where that restaurant has gone, but it used to be called Sambo's. But I was out of it, and we were in that back parking lot, and they were provoking me. You know, guys will do that, you know, come on, you sissy, come on, you know, and of course I'm lit up, and yeah, I'm a sinner. And you know what I did? I said, watch this, guys. There's a little piece of pipe laying on the side there that must have been used as a ground marker or something like that. I took that thing, and I took it, and I broke a windshield of a car. Pastor Jeff, are you kidding me? I don't even think my wife knew that. Amen? We're going to have a long talk on the way home from church today. So you don't know what else is in your life. Yeah, you know, and guess what? Somebody out of the back door of that restaurant, hey, you! And I took off running. Amen. I live 6 miles across town, and guess what? I made it home in about 2 minutes. Amen. I took off running, and all of a sudden the next day, I'm waking up from my hangover, and there's a knock on our door. And it's a police officer. My friends ratted on me. And he said, is your name Jeff Steiner? I said, yes, it is. Of course, my dad is behind me wondering, why is the cop there talking to me, wanting me? He said, I need you to come down to the station. So I went down to the station, and he sat me down. And he went through the whole event and asked me if that was me. And, you know, and I was almost going to lie about it, but I didn't. I fessed up. And they said, because I fessed up to it, that windshield at that time would cost me $150 to replace. But that's sin nature. When you're drinking, you do things you never thought you would do. But I thank God 5 years later, or 7 years later, God was going to give me a brand new heart. Amen. And guess what? If you would have pulled up my name, that might still be on my rap sheet. Amen? Because I think they don't ever erase records that I'm aware of, you know. Amen. Once you're 18, that's all there. Maybe a few traffic violations along the way. But do you realize if God pulls up your name as a child of God in heaven, there's nothing on the screen. It's blank. Your past is gone. You're forgiven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You're all going to think about what that must have looked like. Huh? Amen. And it was an old, beat-up, ratty Ford Econoline van. Doesn't matter. See, I tried to justify it. It's an old piece of garbage car anyway. Who cares? You know, well, God cares. The owner cares. The police department cares. And guess what? Now I care. So, amen. That was just horrible, what I did. That was horrible. Amen. So I've fully repented of that. Amen. Now, God deals with our with this thing called the process of sanctification. In this process of sanctification, in the church, the rest of your life, God is working in you, putting pressure on you, dealing with you, and through that, your relationship with Jesus Christ, that little by little, you become a little more like Him every day. Maybe here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. But guess what? Every week you live for Jesus Christ, God by the Holy Spirit is working in you to bring you the benefits for which Christ died, to conform you a little bit more into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Little by little, He melts your heart. He woos you to Himself. He wins you over little at a time. Amen? Because there's a lot of areas in our heart and life that have not been properly surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? I think we can all agree with that. There are areas in our life that we've not yet fully yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Then, if that's not true, I would think I see Jesus here in you. I would see Christ in you more than I see you. Amen. If you don't think there's a process going on, and if you think you've arrived, no, none of us have arrived. God is working in us that which pleases Him. You and I are bought with a price. But there's been great benefits by which He's given us. That this process of sanctification, listen, do you realize as a believer, God has brought you into a glorious liberty? A liberty. In fact, in Galatians 5, Paul would say it this way to that church. He would say, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Amen. You have been brought into a liberty. And that liberty, when you came to Jesus Christ, is He broke off those chains of religion. That thing, that system that you were part of prior to coming to Christ that you thought made you right with God. God hath brought us into the glorious liberty of the Son of God. He hath made you free. He hath broken all bondage in your life. Amen. He gave you a new heart, a new spirit, a new beginning, wiped the slate clean, justified you, is sanctifying your life, is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And guess what? God has set you at liberty. Amen. There's a freedom in your life. Man, freedom from the bondage of sin. I'm not no longer bound to being a weekend binger. I'm free of that. I'm no longer bound to profanity. God has delivered me of that. Amen. We're free. You've been brought into the glorious liberty of the Son of God. Hallelujah. You know, it's Lenten season in the religious world. I'm free from that. Amen? Well, some of you go, well, Pastor, what's wrong with that? Isn't that a good thing? We, you know, they had a guy in Fox News following, I think, the caucuses in Iowa or whatever, and they were getting his opinion. He had all this dirt on his forehead. I'm thinking, what is that on his forehead? Oh, it's Ash Sunday or Ash Wednesday. I don't even know what to call it. He thinks by partaking of that, somehow that separates him unto God. Somehow that gets him a little more favor with God. That's what's wrong with that. That man is not free. They think by going through the Lenten calendar and doing all the things, somehow, well, they say, well, it helps me get closer to God. No, you think by doing that makes you more holy because you judge the ones that aren't doing it. You have everything you need in Jesus Christ, period. We celebrate the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ every waking moment of every day. In Him, you are complete. Amen. Yeah, but you guys, you do Easter, you do Christmas. Listen, by doing Easter, we don't think we're closer to God. It's just an event. By doing Christmas, we're not thinking that's getting us closer to God. That's just another day that we're just take a little time to look at the birth of Jesus Christ, the incarnation. But you get into those rituals, those religious things, and now we do these things and we think that somehow I got to get to church and I got to do all these things. And by doing all these things, somehow God looks at me as a little more holy, helps me get a little closer to God. That's the same reasoning when they buy a prayer shawl, put it over their head. They say, because it helps me pray. No, it doesn't. You're putting faith in that prayer shawl to get you closer to God. You're in sin. You're in sin. You're in sin. You're not in faith. Paul said when we try to justify ourselves, we again are found to be transgressors. What is he talking about? When you obey and you give yourself over to all these traditions, thinking that in them it gets you closer to God, you're not putting faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Your sin nature is revived, amen? There will be, I'm telling you, that old man will start creeping up his ugly head in your heart and life again. God demands faith in Christ and His sacrificial atoning work on the cross on your behalf. It is Jesus and His shed blood. If your faith is in Christ and Him crucified for you, you are as complete, you are as saved, you are as sanctified as you will ever need to be. Amen? Hallelujah. We don't need to blow shofars. We don't need to do interpretive dance. We don't need to do all these things of the world. We don't have to do all the religious traditions. We are free in Christ. We have been set at liberty. And Paul says, stand fast in that liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, shows us where our heart is at. He has provided a perfect liberty. A perfect liberty. And then that takes us into the abundant life. Jesus said, I'll give you life and that more abundantly. Listen, the abundant life is a byproduct of your faith in the cross. It has a source. As you put your faith in Christ and His shed blood, grace starts coming to you through the Holy Spirit, unmerited favor from God. It starts lifting your heart and your countenance. Things start working together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. It gives you hope of a future. It gives you mercy and grace. And it gives you, hallelujah, the abundant life you want to live. I've never seen anybody with abundant life be suicidal. I've never seen anybody with abundant life have to go on heavy medications just to sedate their emotions. No, we find peace with God because we're justified and I'm forgiven and my sin is washed away. I don't feel the guilt no more. Amen. Oh, there may be consequences from some of my foolish decisions. We've all climbed Fool's Mountain more than once. But there's a liberty, a freedom, an abundant life it leads me to. Thank God for His abundant life in Jesus Christ. This is a provision of the cross. God has provided you hope in a future. Forgiveness of sin, sanctification, justification, liberty from sin. Hallelujah, the abundant life. He's given us a spirit of love and a power and a sound mind. Hallelujah. That's why I say, people, get into the book. Get the Word of God in your soul. Just read it. Read it. Get familiar with it. I'm here to say, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Afraid I won't be able to pay my bills. Afraid that something might happen to my grandchild. Fearing something's going to happen to my children's marriages. Something, oh, fear that cancer's going to come. Listen, life will happen. Life will happen, and unfortunately, bad things come at times in a fallen world. Amen? But the good news is that God, through grace, through the provision of the cross, will take every negative, every evil, every wicked, horrid, hellish circumstance, and He, in time, will turn it around and bring good out of it for the believer in Jesus Christ. Amen? That is good news. Amen. Listen, we all have down moments. We all have those weak moments. We all have those seasons where we go through those valleys. But I am learning that God is ever with me and that He is working all things together for good. And if God be for us, what shall we then say to these things? Shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Listen, shall he not with Jesus, the one you love, give you all things? Amen. Will you put your faith in him? Will you believe on Jesus? Will you fall in love with Jesus? Will you look to his sacrifice for you personally, for your personal condition, a personal sin? Listen, all it takes on your part is faith. Will you believe? Will you believe? Will you believe? That's it. If you can believe, if you can believe. What do you think Jesus taught that in the Gospels? He went around, he told his disciples, if you can believe, if the biggest word in the Bible is if you can believe, if. Wow. Listen, when you're in the heat of the battle, in the storm, you find out how much faith you have. You realize that if is a big word. And now it's a fight of faith. I got to believe this truth. I know Jesus died for me. I know I'm sanctified. I know he's never left me. I know that even though it looks like foreclosure's coming, somehow he's going to work this out to my good. Somehow he'll come through. And if not, then there's something better he has for me down the road. But I will believe God. See, you got to fight. You got to talk to yourself. You got to preach to yourself at times. Amen. It's not just for Pastor Jeff to preach to you. Preach to yourself. When you're going through things, when you're not sure, when you're struggling, when you're low, when you're in a difficult place, when you're feeling that death would be sweet, start rehearsing who you are in Jesus. Amen. I'm blood washed, I'm redeemed, I'm sanctified, I'm justified. I may not feel it all, hell's breaking loose in my life, but God, I know you know where I am. I don't know where you are, but you know where I am at. Amen. And one day you're going to lift this, you're going to turn this captivity. I'm believing you for my blessing. I'm believing you for my prosperity. I'm believing you for my healing. I'm believing you to touch my mind. For the Word of God says you've given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. I have that in Christ. Amen. That is my hope. That is my hope. A brother this morning told me, watching a program and the music and the worship that was going on, the song was about healing. The brother, if God don't touch him, his days are numbered. But he said, God touched me. God touched me. God touched me. Yeah, I'm still having to be on some medications, but God touched me. And I feel stronger than I have in weeks. You see, a fight, a faith. The provision is there. The benefit is there. God has already provided it in Jesus. But friend, you got to fight the good fight and believe what God in Christ has made available to you. Amen. 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 Listen, as a preacher, we get hit the hardest. Paul said, how can I say that? You read in 2 Corinthians there, I think chapter 4. Man, we go through so much. And we go through so much that you're not aware of and don't need to be aware of. Because there's always an oppression, a battle, a struggle. There's always a devil under every rock trying to hinder the preacher. Smite the shepherd, the sheep scatter. There's a principle, but I'm telling you, we fight. Liz and I fight the good fight of faith. Amen. We fight each other. No. We fight. I'm teasing you. But listen. We go through things, but we find that God hath delivered us every time. Listen, when we're in a financial battle, you know what we tell each other? We've been here 100 times, honey. Let's just believe God. Let's just pray. We take hands. We bind that up in Jesus' name. And we say, Lord, somehow, some way, you're going to make a way. And guess what? We haven't missed a house payment either. Amen? Our needs have been met. Barely sometimes. Well, you say you're bivocational, Pastor. Yeah, you should be doing better. Well, we are, but you know what? You got a kid in college, you got other things going on, we still got a mortgage, we still got things just like you. Amen? Life happens. We pay bills like you pay bills. Amen? There are times that we just need, but we give to God too, and we're faithful in our giving back to God. Amen? And so I know we've met God's criteria, and I know that God promised that as long as we do our part, God will always do his part. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, all of this, my friend, has been provided in Jesus Christ. Liberty, an abundant life, power of love, spirit of love, power and a sound mind, victory over sin. God says we'll be an overcomer. We're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We have the life and we have the truth. For Jesus said, I am the life, the truth, and the way. The way is the cross. The way is Jesus Christ, not religion. You've been set at liberty. Break off the religious stuff. Amen. Get into relationship with God. It's much better. It's much better. You don't have to rub coal on your head and think you're justified, think you're closer to God. Yeah, I can tell when we talk about stuff, you know, you hit a sacred cow. You know what I mean? Should we hit it again? You don't need that stuff. Ashes belong under your feet, not on your forehead. Amen? Amen? They believe they belong in the burning pit. Amen. Hallelujah. To enjoy what Christ hath provided everyone. And you know what's so beautiful? God is no respecter of persons. The weakest one in the faith that stumbles and struggles and has trouble with their consecration, that's your dedication back to God. And you just got stuff in your life. I mean, stuff. Stuff. Drama. Issues. Trouble. Heartache. Misery. Gloom. Despair. And agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excess misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Now, you young people, you where did that come from? Used to be a program called Hee Haw. Amen? And they used to sing that. Amen? But you know what? We got a better song. Oh, yeah, there's some glad morning when this life is over. I'm going to fly away. Hallelujah. See, you know, I love that a lot better than gloom, despair, and agony on me. But there's a cure for agony, gloom, and despair. It is the blood of Jesus Christ and your faith therein. And Jesus can turn it all around for your good. Hallelujah. You don't need to be dependent on the system. You need to be dependent on the Son of God. Hallelujah. Who loves you. Who loves you. But you don't know what I did, Pastor. It don't matter. Full atonement on Calvary has been made for every blunder, every agony, every sin, every mistake, every bit of rebellion we have. Jesus made full atonement on the cross. There's not one sin that cannot be forgiven except one, and it's called the sin of unbelief. You won't believe what the preacher's trying to get you to believe in. Amen. You tell me I'm lying to you. You tell me I'm preaching heresy. I'll repent. I'll get it right. But I'm not preaching to you heresy. I'm preaching you the hope of your future. The hope of your children's children's future and the hope of your grandchildren's future. I'm preaching to you the simple, pure gospel message. You must put faith in the Son of God who loved you, died for you, and gave Himself for you, and look to His shed blood that brings you all of His benefits. Hallelujah. Well, I'll take my chances, Pastor, and I'll just go to hell and party with my friends. This church stuff ain't for me, you know. Well, you may go to hell, but you won't party with your friends there. I'm here to say, hell is a horrible place. The Bible describes hell. It says there's no parties there, but it is a place of excruciating pain, of flames. It says where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. It's a place where there's weeping and there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know, I was struggling with that. Gnashing of teeth, what is that like? It is somebody that is so worked up in hate and remorse, not really a remorse, but they are just so, and that goes on for all of eternity. Amen. It's such a gnawing, nagging, I'm telling you, the shrieks of hell. If we could hear 10 seconds of it, it would scare every one of us to get right with God and to avoid that horrible place. But I'm here to say, if you'll but believe, then the victory Jesus won for us at the Calvary is given to you freely as a benefit. He's the conqueror. Like David of old at Ziklag, there were 400 of David's men. 200 of them were too weak to go fight in the battle. David said, stay here and guard the stuff. The other 200 plus David went and they conquered the Amalekites. They came back with great spoil. They fought the battle. David had led them. God gave them a great victory. They come back with a great spoil. And then all of a sudden, the 200 that were guarding the stuff saw him coming in a victory with all the stuff. And there were some among the 200 of David's warriors that said, these men don't deserve what we've wrought for. We fought the battle. They just stayed here because they were pansies and didn't want to fight the battle. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what they were saying. And David said, no. And I'll paraphrase what I think David said. These men guarding our stuff are just as important as you and I out in the battlefield. They can enjoy the rewards of our labor. The 200, they were more than conquerors. They didn't have to fight the battle. And they get all the benefits of the battle. Jesus wrought everything that we need in this life pertaining to godliness and everything we need from him. He paid the price in full. He went to the cross. He paid the price. He shed his life's blood. And guess what? You and I are the receivers of the benefits for which he died. That makes you and I more than a conqueror. Through him that loved us. Hallelujah. Musicians, please. As we close this thing down, we've been made more of a conqueror through Jesus Christ. We get resurrection from the dead, a new heart and a new spirit. We have a heavenly Father. We have a Savior in heaven. We are glorified in Christ. We have peace that surpasses all understanding. A perfect justification, a perfect sanctification. We have joy and hope no matter what life hurls at us. We have the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and we have His personal leading in our life. If we move on with Jesus, we begin to function in the gifts of the Spirit. We begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit. We have an eternity with God. I go to prepare a place for you. We can receive grace without limits according to the riches of His grace. And we have access into this grace wherein we stand through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. We've been given a heavenly calling, who called us with a heavenly calling. And that makes you and I more than a conqueror through the one who loved us. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Let's just lift our hands. Let's just worship Him. Let's just thank Him this morning for the goodness He has shown us, for all good things that He has done on the cross for us. Let's believe Him this morning. Do you need prayer? Do you need to come to this altar? I'm going to ask the elders of the church, Elizabeth, sweetheart, if you come. Those that help us pray normally, I just ask you to come up. If there's anybody that needs to be prayed with, prayed for, you need a touch from the Lord. In response to this message, God has all good things for you. God wants to open up the windows of heaven for every one of us. Everything you need is in Jesus Christ. Everything you need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Let's come to Jesus and let's come for prayer. God has everything we need in Jesus Christ. Let's come. Do you need to come to the altar? Come pray with somebody. Come on. Anybody else here today? Are you here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
I wholly trust.
If you're here today and you want to receive Jesus Christ, then let's come. We'll pray with you that you receive Him. Anybody today, you've never received Jesus Christ, you want to repent, turn to God in Jesus Christ, then come. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else this morning? God has provided everything you'll ever need in this life.